The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Including a values-based health insurance plan that won't break your budget or compromise your beliefs. To learn more or enroll, visit cbpohio.org.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Welcome indeed. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are underway on a Monday morning, the 18th morning, and the final morning before we go to the polls officially, if you have not already early voted, in the extraordinarily important Ohio primary election. That's right. Tomorrow is the day people have been pointing to for months now, particularly in some very contentious races, especially the one for Ohio Senate Republican nominee to face and hopefully take down Sherrod Brown. Big, big show today lined up for you largely on that front. We're going to be talking this morning with Senator J.D. Vance. That'll be coming up in about an hour at about 10:10. Senator Vance is, of course, endorsing Bernie Moreno. They're holding an event tonight in Parma. I know all of the candidates are holding various events tonight, last-minute campaign parties and, rallies and so forth to try to generate and turn out support for their candidate tomorrow. So the one in Parma, Senator J.D. Vance and Bernie Moreno will be at together, and we're going to talk to both of those guys today. We were expecting to talk to Secretary Frank LaRose on Friday. They reached out and said they wanted to come back on for one last pitch, and we said, you are more than welcome. And then we tried and tried and tried again and never got a confirmation from them that they wanted to come on. So I don't know exactly what LaRose's situation is at this moment, but it's Election Day tomorrow, and today is our last broadcast before Election Day, before you go to the polls tomorrow. So we're here, Frank, if you want to call. Same thing for Matt Dolan. We're here if you want to call. Bernie's team did reach out, and they got on the schedule, so they're here. J.D. Vance, excuse me, 1 hour from now at 10:10, then Bernie Moreno about this very important race, and the rally that happened on Saturday in Dayton is going to be top of the mind as well. So I'm looking forward to that part of the conversation. He'll be at 10:35. Then at 11:10, by the way, a race we haven't talked about much because, generally speaking, judicial races don't generate a lot of attention. And so one of them is we're going to talk with Scott Lynch, judicial candidate Scott Lynch, at 11:10 today. So I'm looking forward to that. We did have Jim Jordan scheduled for 9:35 this morning. I got a call very, very late last night from his scheduler saying he is actually going to be at the Supreme Court this morning. And therefore, Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, will not be available. He will be on tomorrow's program, I believe, at 11:10. Is what it is. So on Election Day tomorrow, we'll talk to Jim Jordan. So this first hour is free for you and for me. And here's how it's free for you. If you have a candidate or a cause that you want to advocate for in tomorrow's ultra-important primary election, this is your time, this hour. I'll try to leave some time on the back end after 11 o'clock, after we talk to Scott Lynch, judicial candidate Scott Lynch. That'll be fine. But this hour is probably your best shot at making your call. Whom do you want to support? And I don't care if it's the congressional race, or if it's a congressional race, rather, or the Senate race, or any of the state House races, in which 17, blue 22, trans Dems or trans Republicans, people who don't know what they actually identify as, the traitors, in my estimation, to the voters. Republican voters voted for them to act like Republicans with a supermajority in the Ohio House, and 22 of them decided to stab the voters in the back and sided with the Democrats, handing the gavel to a man who asked Alison Russo, the minority leader in the Ohio House, a Democrat, to hold the Bible for him as a sign of, we're together, we're with you. 17 of those 22 are up for re-election tomorrow. There are 17 primaries, and there are 17 primary challengers that I would absolutely love for you to support over those blue 22. Well, 17 of the blue 22. But if they were a part of the blue 22 and up for re-election, bounce their happy little Democrat-loving A's out of Columbus and do it post-haste. So if you want to make an argument for any of those things, by all means, we'll take your calls at 216-901-0945 or 888-281-1110. Outside of that, we have some important news to get to this morning, which we will do immediately after we say our pledge. Patriots, stand if you would, face your flag, put your hand on your heart and join us for this. If you are a true believer, if you are a supportive of things like Blue 22 backstabbers, if you are supportive of Joe Biden, if you are a supporter of creating media hoaxes out of things completely taken out of context at Dayton rallies featuring the former and potentially future president of the United States, if you're a believer in all of that nonsense, then don't pretend you love this flag. Don't stand proudly. Instead, take a knee like the Marxist dog that you are, while the rest of us stand and say,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so this is just so on brand for the radical Democrats. There's just no other way to say this. The Democrat Party has spent the better part of the last 48 hours, ever since Saturday, when President Trump went to Dayton in support of Bernie Moreno and made some comments. Well, he did a wide-ranging commentary, obviously, on a host of things, you know, that are involved in this upcoming election. Certainly, he spoke of Bernie Moreno and that important Senate race, but he spoke specifically about Joe Biden as well. Talked about what he is going to do and what has to be done for this country to survive, particularly the coming economic boom. No, actually, it's not a boom. I mean, insofar as it's like a nuclear bomb that would devastate our economy, that kind of boom. But the devastating impact of China's influence on the American car market. President Trump stood there on that podium, at that podium in Dayton, and declared that if China is allowed to build cars, millions of particularly of electric cars in Mexico, and then ship them to the United States, it would just crush us. That's what I mean by a boom. It would crush us economically. It might even be an economic bloodbath, one might say. Well, Trump did say that. The problem is the left did what the left does. The left took that term, and I know you've been aware of it. If you're politically active and involved and you watch the Sunday shows, you know what I'm talking about, but we need to hear it and play it for those who don't know. Here's what President Trump said in full. The thing that the left-wing media is denying you right now, which is context. They want. In fact, before I give you the context and President Trump's words in full, let's listen to what some of these I would call them half-wits, but that's an insult to half-wits. These quarter-wits, listen to what some of them said. Nancy Pelosi raced to CNN yesterday to say, Trump said this. All right, that was a big build-up for a technical glitch. Come on now, Nance. Here we go.
He's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here.
Yeah, there is something very, very wrong here. Morning Joe. Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough this morning woke everybody up at 6:15 and started cursing at them and advancing the lie that Donald Trump is threatening violent retribution if he isn't elected president again. That's what he means by bloodbath. Here's Morning Joe.
Obviously, he's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, our president, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry. And this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
So Joe Scarborough and his hacks at MSNBC are the ones who aren't stupid. Let's see what Donald Trump actually said about there being a bloodbath if he's not reelected. And once again, we got multiple spots here. Hold on.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories.
The word bloodbath, all about the automobile industry and how terrible it will be for the United States if China is able to control America's car retail industry, manufacturing and retail industry. If China is allowed to control it through Mexican production and then just bring those up to the United States, he said, not going to happen. Not going to happen. If that did happen, it would be an economic bloodbath. If I'm not elected, and in other words, if we don't have the 100% tariff that I just threatened and said will be a part of my policies, and somebody else is president, then it's going to be an economic bloodbath. He said automotive before the word bloodbath. He talked about the automotive industry after the word bloodbath. It was clearly about that and nothing more. But Pelosi, Scarborough, virtually every leftist in America that has either a microphone or a Twitter account, all screaming that Donald Trump is threatening a retributive, violent bloodbath in the country, like January 6th, they're saying. Because that's what he said about the economic conditions in this country if he is not reelected president. So we decided, and thankfully, when I say we, I'm talking about the American, the everyday average American patriot, decided to look into this a little bit further. Is the word bloodbath code for we are going to call for violent retribution, violence in the streets if our person doesn't win an election? Is that what bloodbath really means? Let's look to liberal Democrats and find out if that's what bloodbath means.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC, Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Yeah, bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath. May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like.
Presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath, the Democrats are
calling it. Ticket sales turned into a bloodbath.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
It's safe to say the fans had a bloodbath for the.
But when Donald Trump says there's going to be a bloodbath if China is able to manufacture millions of electric cars in Mexico and just ship them to the United States, crushing the American automotive industry, crushing the UAW, crushing millions of American jobs. He says that's going to be a bloodbath, and it's, oh, Trump is calling for violence. Trump wants blood to flow in the streets if he isn't reelected. We know what he really meant, don't we, Joe?
Obviously, he's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
The reality of this, my friends, is that they really, really, truly think we are this stupid. They think that we are this stupid. They think that Donald Trump is that stupid. They think that they can gaslight us into believing this as reality. By the way, I don't know if you noticed all of the voices. It's a little bit tough. It's easier for me because it was a video montage of leftists on MSNBC and NBC and ABC and CBS and all the rest of them talking about bloodbaths in various contexts. Among all of those voices, though, one of them was Morning Joe. One of them was Joe Scarborough talking about a bloodbath to come in one particular instance. And it doesn't matter what it was because we know it isn't literal. We know he wasn't calling for or predicting actual violence leading to blood surging in the streets of the United States. It's a metaphor, meaning it is going to be a rout. It is going to be, you know, a political rout one way or the other. One of the headlines that is out there right now that not enough people are paying attention to and pointing to. But there is a headline. Let me see if I can pull this up on a moment's notice here because I looked at it yesterday as I researched all of this stuff for the show today. This was in The Guardian, and it was from 2020 when Joe Biden was being challenged for the Democratic nomination by socialist Senator Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders was winning primaries, if you remember all of this. In the early going, Bernie Sanders was winning primaries, and there was some belief that Bernie Sanders was going to be the Democrat nominee. And do you know what Joe Biden said in response to Bernie Sanders winning some early primaries and caucuses? Quote, Biden warns against primary bloodbath as Sanders sharpens attacks ahead of key contests. This was in 2020, during the early primary season. Biden warns against primary bloodbath. I didn't see any screaming from conservative television. I didn't see Sean Hannity screaming and cursing at people the way Joe Scarborough just did and saying, Joe Biden is threatening a bloodbath in the streets of the United States of America if he doesn't win the Democrat nomination. Nobody freaked out. Nobody thought that because everybody knew what that meant. Everybody knows what a metaphor is and what reality is. Donald Trump didn't even leave any room for ambiguity. Donald Trump left no doubt whatsoever because the context before and after the word bloodbath was all about the automotive industry and the impact that will have on the United States of America if China is able to build these plants and allow all of this work to be done, all of this manufacturing to be done in Mexico, and then think that they're going to ship these cars to the United States with no extra cost.
If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories.
So President Trump, it's literally and figuratively impossible to mistake anything that he just said for anything other than an economic automotive bloodbath. A metaphor for a disaster for the American auto worker, for the American consumer, because we're all going to have to buy expensive electric cars instead of affordable internal combustion engine cars. It's going to be an economic bloodbath for all of us unless he is elected president and is able to slap those tariffs on those vehicles coming over in order to stop this. As he pointed out, if he is not president and this is allowed to be forced on the American people, we will all suffer tremendously economically. He left no room for ambiguity. He was as clear as the day is long, and they still managed to try to start and generate what we will now call the bloodbath hoax. It's a hoax. They're gaslighting us. They're insinuating that you are too stupid to believe your own ears and that you should trust their analysis of what Donald Trump said rather than what you know you just heard. These people are simply irredeemable. Irredeemable. All right, it's 9:28. We got to get a timeout here. We'll open up the phone lines on the other side. 216-901-0945. This is the time. One day left before we go to the polls tomorrow in the very important
Indeed.com/credit.
Waking up America from its woke slumber. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
All right, it is 9:34. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us. It is the penultimate morning before you get to go vote officially tomorrow. You cannot early vote today if you didn't get to your Board of Elections and get it done already. You're going to have to vote tomorrow when the actual polls open. So today is going to be the last day that we can be here to argue and make our cases for certain candidates that you support in this primary fight, issues, and more. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. First up on my phone list this morning is Ohio State Senator Jerry Serino. Senator Serino, it's good to have you. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bob. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. I apologize. I didn't quite catch the call as I was busy playing audio of the big liars and crooks that are trying to say that Donald Trump is predicting a violent bloodbath.
It was very entertaining to listen to it, so I didn't mind waiting at all.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. What did you want to say to us this morning?
Well, I wanted to take advantage of your outreach this morning to talk about candidates, and I want to once again reiterate my support in full endorsement for Heidi Workman, who is running against Gail Pavliga, who is one of the Blue 22, or remaining Blue 17, as you say, in Portage County. She is a an outstanding candidate, and I think she's going to serve us very, very well. And I urge all of my friends and supporters in Portage County, which used to be part of my district, to support her and come out and vote for her, and so we can get a real Republican representing Portage County in the next 2 years.
I was very impressed with my conversation with Heidi Workman last week. It was the first time I had a chance to talk to her. I knew very well about Gail Pavliga and what she stands for, but I didn't know a lot about Heidi. And what's important to me, Senator Serino, and I'm so glad to get your testimonial here for her, is it's not just, hey, vote against the Blue 22 or the Blue 17 that are running for re-election, just for whoever is on the other side. That's still not a bad idea, but it's not the only idea why I want, you know, people should vote for Heidi Workman, because I was very impressed by what I heard.
Well, not only that, she obviously, this is not just about replacing Gail, as you indicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's about putting good people into these races, and there are a number of them around the state now that are being challenged in primaries. And I think we're going to get some really good candidates and who will be on the ballot, general ballot in November. But, you know, Heidi Workman is going to represent the people of Portage County, and which is part of Northeast Ohio, and really represent the values that are so important to us. Gail Pavliga has stood in the way of accomplishing higher education reform and stopping the woke practices going on at our universities and community colleges. She has just simply, and of course, as you point out earlier, you know, she supported a coalition with the Democrats in the House in order to elect a speaker, and that is taking our supermajority, which on paper is a supermajority, and reducing it to a House of Representatives that is getting very, very little done. We need to get work done. We have to work for the people of Ohio, and we need good people in the House to make that happen. And Heidi Workman will be a tremendous improvement for us, and we look to welcome her to the legislature in Columbus.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that and to make that very important pitch. And I'm glad you reminded people, too, that she was one of those who voted against your bill, against Senate Bill 83. You know, higher education reform is needed in this state. We have to rein in the toxicity of the DEI, you know, programs and you know, the CRT and all of the other things that are pushed on young students at these universities. It's such a common sense bill. It passed easily out of your Senate, and it should pass easily in the House as well. It passed out of the committee, obviously, but Speaker Stevens has decided, at least thus far, that it doesn't deserve a vote full floor, but she's against it.
Well,
that tells you a lot.
We're still pushing for it to get on the floor, and I think it will in the next month or two. But you know, Gail Pavliga stood in forward out of committee. It delayed the bill by a couple of months. And at the same time, in all of the committee hearings on this bill and on the a companion bill that was the exact same bill in the House, she asked no question in committee, not one question. And so, you know, I don't know what her rationale was for voting against the bill, but any basic Republican person would have supported my bill. It's needed higher education reform. And I think voters are going to hold her accountable for holding up on that and so many other important issues to Republicans.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I hope they do. I really do. Again, I'm not really in the habit of endorsing individuals, but I did talk to Heidi Workman, and I have read and know enough about Pavliga's record here to know that this is a very strong and easy call, I think, for the voters in that district. So we will certainly take your words to heart. Senator Serino, thank you for the great work you've done on SB 83 and so much more, too. And thank you for calling on this race today.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
God bless you. There you go. That's Jerry Serino. Let me hit a couple of other points on this real quick, by the way. Not only did Gail Pavliga vote against Senator Serino's SB 83 when it got over to the House committee, which again would roll back, you know, DEI programs at our colleges and universities all throughout the Buckeye State. Here's a few other highlights of the Blue 22 member, Gail Pavliga. It ought to be enough, by the way, that she voted again. She voted in the Republican caucus to say that I will support, as we all agreed we would do, the winner of the caucus vote. And we'll make sure that that person is unanimously suspected elected speaker. Well, the winner of the caucus vote was, of course, Derek Merriman. We know the story by now. And then she just went right back on her word, proving that she is not trustworthy, as are all of the other 22, the other 21, I guess I should say, that they're not trustworthy. And if they weren't trustworthy on their word then, they cannot be trusted on anything they say on the campaign trail now. So that vote is enough to bounce her, in my opinion, but there's more. There are many more. She partnered with a Democrat, which is what she obviously proved she was more than willing to do, given the fact that she turned her back on the Republicans and sided with Democrats to give Jason Stevens the gavel. But she partnered with a Democrat to sponsor legislation to use your tax dollars to provide housing for illegal immigrants. She did not take a position on the Second Amendment Preservation Act. What does that mean? If somebody can't say yes to preserving the Second Amendment, that means they don't support the Second Amendment. That's not hard to figure out. She also is proud of her vote. She puts this in her campaign mailers for a bill to increase what you pay for energy, as if we aren't already being hit hard enough with energy costs because of decisions made at the federal government level. She is supportive of it at the state level. And she was one of five members of the Ohio House to vote against medical price transparency and reducing the cost of health care for patients. One of only five members to support the health care industry as opposed to the patients who need help from the health care industry. All of those things are a matter of record. So I concur, Senator Serino, and I appreciate that. Gail Pavliga has got to go, and Heidi Workman has got to win that seat. Very important. John Stover, president of Ohio Value Voters, is on the line. He wants to advocate for something. John, good morning. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, Bob. You know, first of all, let me just state this. I will not use the word bloodbath on your program today. I'm not going to take any chances here. You know, I tell you what.
Morning Joe might get mad at you if you do that.
Oh, I tell you, Joe Scarborough and the others, they're a bunch of nuts. And I tell you, all of them are not playing with the full deck. I mean, think about it, Bob. If in fact President Trump had stated, you know, the sky will be falling, you know, would they have attacked him on that and said, you know, there's got to be something behind that? Is he claiming that there's going to be a nuclear war with China? I mean, it's just crazy when you come right down to it. But, you know, that's to be expected from them. Real quick here, Bob, I know you got want to take some other calls. Mm-hmm. Heidi Workman is somebody that we, in fact, endorsed at Ohio Value Voters. It's my good friend, Senator Serino. I couldn't agree with him more. We need to elect Heidi Workman. You know, I'm also calling on behalf of, you know, someone that we vetted very closely in our organization. Your listeners can go to OhioValueVoters.org, OhioValueVoters.org. They will be able to download those candidates that we've endorsed. Bernie Moreno, we've endorsed him for U.S. Senate. You know, I've often said, Bob, that if a individual running for higher office, if he has he or she has a record, you know, that can either be a benefit or a detriment to their campaign and our endorsement. And unfortunately, when it comes to both of Moreno's opponents, they have dismal records. Don't have time to get into it, but we do vet these individuals very, very closely. And a couple of other races that I want to just mention here that are, you know, challenged Congressional House District 2, former House Representative Ron Hood. He's running for the congressional seat in District 2. Fine man, good man. And then also House District 6, Congressional House District 6, Reggie Stolfus. Both of these individuals would certainly make excellent representatives in Washington. I know that they would be joining the Freedom Caucus with Jim Jordan, and just two fine men that I've got to know over the years as they served in Columbus. And with that, I tell you, it's going to be interesting. There's no doubt about that. Interesting situation tomorrow, and I'm hopeful that, you know, we've got some of these people that need to be serving in Columbus or serving in Washington, we get them elected.
Where, John, if I may, before you go, where can people get the entire slate? I know a lot of people trust Ohio Value Voters. You and your entire committee and your board, you guys put a lot of work into deciding these things before you put out your recommendations, and people trust it. So where can people see the whole slate?
They can see the slate of candidates at OhioValueVoters.org. Go to that website. They'll be able to print off our endorsed candidates. And I just should add, Bob, if your representative for either the Senate or House or even Congress is not there, then, you know, there's one of roughly three or four things that occurred. Either they're a Democrat, and I hate to say it, but our organization, we do not endorse Democrats. And the reason being, you just don't find any dinos out there. Democrat in name only. Yeah. Democrat Party, they don't allow them to exist. And then there are some individuals that just don't have the ability to answer our questions, and they know that truthfully, so they don't send it in. Or they did send it in, and we rejected them. Or if they did send it in and they scored 100% on our survey, and the record doesn't meet up with what they've stated on the survey, we reject endorsing them. But we try to do our job in vetting all of these individuals, but that's where they can go, Bob, OhioValueVoters.org, to find the endorsed candidate list that we have out there.
Yeah, there's a tab across the top of the page at OhioValueVoters.org. It says 2024 Voter Guide. If you click that, you can see the entire downloadable slate that OVV has put out there. And I wanted to ask you about one of them. You've already talked about a couple of them, but this one is of note to me because of, well, everything that happened with the speaker's race and what happened to Derek Maron. Derek Maron is running for Congress in District 9. It was against J.R. Majewski and Craig Riedel. We know what happened. Majewski dropped. So Riedel and Maron, two, you know, I think conceivably very, very strong candidates. You decided to endorse Riedel. Can you say why?
Well, we endorsed Riedel because, he had completed our survey. I did have conversations with Derek Maron, and I agree with you 100%. For whatever reason, he wasn't able to get his survey to us. Don't know why, but we never received it. But either one of those two would be fine men to serve in Congress. I do know that Craig Riedel, he has assured me that he would also join the Freedom Caucus and Jim Jordan. And getting back to the gang of 22, the Blue 22, we had made a decision back in January of last year, even before the vote had taken place, with Stevens reaching across the aisle and working with Alison Russo and Democrats, that anyone that, in fact, joined with Stevens and, decided to negate the vote that had taken place on behalf of Derek Maron, that they would not even be considered for our endorsement this coming primary, which is the elections, of course, taking place tomorrow. So we made it known to all of them.
All right. Very good. Well, John, I appreciate the work that you and your entire team at Ohio Value Voters does. And thank you for the call and for promoting some of these very important candidates in these races tomorrow. And again, I'll tell people to get onto the website if they want to follow the advice of OVV. It's at OhioValueVoters.org. Click on 2024 Voter Guide at the top of the page, and you will get a drop down menu there of all of the candidates on that slate. I should say all of the endorsed candidates for OVV. John, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
And thank you, Bob.
All right, there you go. That's John Stover joining us. We'll go to Charlie now. He's calling us from Brownhelm Township. Hey, Charlie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob. John Stover is a hero in my eyes. The work that Ohio Value Voters does to look into this, they've been doing it for almost 20 years. They're just, you can take their guide, take a picture with your phone, take a picture of the guide, and take it right into the booth. And that's how you should vote. I'm voting for Trump and Marino. Actually, Ohio Value Voters said at one time, do not vote for Matt Dolan because he refused to sign the heartbeat bill. He was not a pro-life person. We really got to get Bernie Marino in there. And the last thing I wanted to say, yesterday I'm watching Face the Nation. Mike Pence is on there, and they're asking him about the bloodbath. Mm-hmm. And he says, come on, he was talking about the automotive industry. And Mike Pence is no friend of Donald Trump, but he said, come on, this is ridiculous that you're going to try to say bloodbath is important. When you say it, it was specifically about the automotive industry and how we've got to stop Mexico and China from bringing from bringing these through across the border. So, but John Stover really is a hero. Got to applaud him for what he does.
Well, I agree with both those things. I love John and OVV. Thank you for the call, Charlie. And Vice President Pence is a good man. I know that people wanted him to do something different than what he did on January 6th as far as decertifying or not certifying the election so that there could be an audit. I certainly understand the point. I certainly could make a case. I also think he had a compelling case constitutionally to say I cannot do that. But regardless of it, you're right. He and President Trump had their time together. Now they are kind of not necessarily supportive of one another. I don't think there's a ton of animosity there, but Mike Pence is a good man, and I think he's an honest man. And when he looked at what Donald Trump said in Dayton at the Bernie Moreno slash Trump rally on Saturday, he told the truth. Because it's obvious to anybody, even if you do have an axe to grind against Donald Trump, even if you consider him to be orange man bad and we need to reelect Joe Biden or any of the other nonsense, anybody with two IQ points to rub together who heard Donald Trump speak knows that he wasn't talking about a violent bloodbath with retribution for not electing him. He was talking about the economic bloodbath to come, which is a term, as I played a 2-minute and 10-second long montage of Democrats using the term bloodbath to describe what's going to happen if certain bills don't pass or legislation doesn't happen or what have you. Everybody knows what that term means politically, and that's all Donald Trump was doing. So good for Vice President Pence, former Vice President Pence, for supporting President Trump in that regard. Jason, calling us from Brunswick. Hi, Jason. You're on the air. Fire away.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Good to have you, sir.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm happy that J.R. Majewski dropped out. That guy was a fraud. I want to say that Jerry Serino, that was a good call. What we would need Jerry Serino to do is get tough with the Senate Housing and the Select Committee for Affordable Housing. We're going to get railroaded on that, too. But I wanted to talk real quick about Michael O'Malley.
Okay.
And how important this race is, too.
Glad you are.
Thank you. So, you know, again, Justin Bibb's failed policing has led to ripples throughout the suburbs. Most recently, Parma police had chased a couple suspects into Cleveland. I think they had to meet with Cleveland City Council, and they were being reprimanded. So instead of Parma being able to police their own city now, they have to be held to the Cleveland standard, which is a low bar, and they're not going to do that anymore. They're not going to chase into the city. What they're going to do is they're going to install more of these flock cameras to surveil their own residents, the license plate reading cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to bring up the road diets that they're talking about now with Justin Bibb's 15-minute city. They're starting to change zoning regulations to accommodate those 15-minute cities, which is going to lead to a reduction. I believe they said 80% of the roads are going to need to go on a road diet in Cleveland. This is progressivism, okay? It's going to be terrible to get in and out of the city. They're going to make it miserable for anyone that lives outside of the city to get in. Matthew Ahn is going to be there to enforce the criminal aspect of that. It's going to be bad, you know, policy-wise. Again, travel, commerce, all of those things. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to end up being a criminal trying to go to work. Again, this is Michael O'Malley. For anyone that's a Democrat that's listening or on the fence or that knows anyone, it has to be Michael O'Malley. They blocked 480 the other day, keeping people from going to the airport and making their flight.
To the airport, yeah.
No one was arrested. No one was charged. This will be a daily occurrence, and they will stop you from earning your paycheck because they don't want you to live outside of the city. They can't coax you to live there with nice amenities. They have to force you to live there. Again, they forced Parma to change the way they police because Cleveland refuses to police. This is their lack of doing what they're put in office to do is how they effectively get you to change your behavior. So,
well, there's a little bit of context to this that needs to be brought forth, too. You know, I don't want anybody to hear your words and say, well, then why would you support Michael O'Malley? He's the prosecutor. Why didn't he order people to be arrested? Prosecutors can't do that, by the way. The police can decide whether arrests are made, and they can act in accordance with the wishes of City Hall, meaning the mayor. And so there's a weird little kind of, conundrum here because Justin Bibb, the mayor of Cleveland, who works with the safety director and works with the chief of police to set policy about who they arrest and when for various things like protests blocking access to the airport, he didn't order that, but he supports Mike O'Malley. So it's a little bit odd because you're right. We do need to crack down on the illegality. We need to crack down on these kinds of things that put people in danger, these protests that block highways and so forth. I would hope that Prosecutor O'Malley and Mayor Bibb and the new chief of police and safety director Drummond and all the rest, I would hope they all establish new policies here that say we are going to arrest in order to deter these kinds of things from happening in the future. And the other part of this, of course, is the knowledge that Matthew Ahn would do no such thing because he does not believe in policing and he does not believe in prisons or jails. So all of these things need to be taken into consideration when people vote in that primary for prosecutor.
As they say, the silence is deafening. If you're involved in an instance where they're blocking traffic, and let's say you get into an altercation where you're defending yourself, self-defense, Matthew Ahn is the one that gets to decide who to prosecute in that case.
Bingo. So. And we know where his loyalties lie. He is a Soros acolyte, massive progressive who is just going to take law and order and completely eliminate it from all of Cuyahoga County if he is allowed to be our prosecutor. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that very much, Jason. We got to get a time out here for the top of the hour. Senator J.D. Vance is going to be joining me. On the other side of that at 10:35, Bernie Moreno, Senate candidate, will be joining me. We're going to talk about a very important judicial race, appeals court in the 11th District. Scott Lynch is a candidate there, and he's going to be joining me with more of the, I don't know what you want to call them, but these are the Democrat-lite people who are running in these primaries who are, let's just say, less than honest and forthright. A lot of election shenanigans being played. And
as any human being, their lives matter. I'm Molly Smith, host of From the Median Radio Program. This message is sponsored by ClevelandRightToLife.org.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
It is indeed all of that. Good morning. Once again, thanks for being with us as hour number two commences at 9 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Monday, the 18th morning of the third month in the year of our Lord, 2024. Huge day tomorrow. Huge day as we try to figure out how to take back this country. And that is not an overstatement. We literally have that kind of a task in front of us. We have to take back this country in November. And it starts with having the right candidates facing Democrats, including, obviously, the extraordinarily important Senate race. It is conceivable, and I think some people don't understand this, it is conceivable that this particular race in the Senate fight is the one that will decide the majority in the United States Senate next year. It is conceivable. I think there are three races where, you know, Republicans are considered to have a chance of turning a blue seat red. This one might be the most important one, talking about Sherrod Brown, who's got to go. And that's why our vote tomorrow is extraordinarily important. And that's why if you haven't already done it in early voting, obviously you better carve out time tomorrow to make sure that we get the right person up against Sherrod Brown. I'm told we do have our next guest on the line right now. Let's welcome back to our program a man who has been tireless in campaigning for one of the three candidates in the fight between Bernie Moreno, Frank LaRose, and Matt Dolan. He is Ohio's Republican Senator J.D. Vance, joining us now on AM 1420, The Answer. Senator, good to have you back. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. You've been working your tail off, and you got another one tonight in Parma, right?
Yeah, that's right. We just left one in Dayton, headed to Lima. We'll be in Toledo this afternoon, and then Parma tonight. So we've got four events today for Bernie, and it's just so important that people get out there and support Bernie Moreno. And let me give you just a simple argument, if I could, Bob.
Please.
For why I think Bernie Moreno is the right guy to take on Sherrod Brown. So the most important issue in my mind, and there are a lot of them, but the single most important issue is the open border that Joe Biden has given to this country. We know exactly why it happened, that he undid a lot of Trump administration policies, 93 executive orders that he implemented that threw open the southern border. You have to ask yourself, what happens when we get a Donald Trump presidency, which I think and hope we will? What happens to the millions of people, many of whom have committed crimes, when Donald Trump is president? Do we deport them or do we give them amnesty? Bernie Moreno's answer is we deport them. Everybody else's answer is that we give them amnesty. Now, that's the most important single issue. What do you do about the open border? But it also, I think, signals the kind of courage that Bernie Moreno will have in the office, Bob, if he's willing to take a stand and say, you can't let all these people just stay here. You can't grant mass amnesty I think it signals the kind of senator that he would be on other issues that are going to come up, and that's why we need him in the Senate. Think
I'm
about
have
Ohio, Bob.
I apologize. I thought you were done there, Senator. Go ahead.
No. Just one final argument I want to make about this. Ohio has increasingly trended red. We're not Alabama by any means, but we are more red than we were 20 years ago. That means that we need the right kind of senator in the United States Senate. Now, you can have a Republican named Mitt Romney, or you can have a Republican named Mike Lee or Ted Cruz. I think we have an opportunity to get that kind of Republican in Bernie Moreno. It's, of course, why I'm working so hard to get him elected.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. You know, just to stay, since you said number one was the border, and I concur, by the way, it is the number one issue for most Americans, right up there, maybe 1A and 1B with inflation and our own economic prospects. But since we're talking about the border and you talk about amnesty, there have been a ton of attack ads from Bernie Moreno's opponents saying that he, during the Obama years, stated that he supported amnesty and a pathway not to citizenship, but for residency for those who meet certain conditions. They're using that to say he's actually soft on the border. I'm going to ask him this in about a half an hour after I'm done with you, but what do you say to in response to that?
Well, look, my response to that is people change their minds. Thinking people change their minds when the facts on the ground change. You and I have talked, Bob, about how I was a strident critic of Donald Trump in 2015, even 2016. I saw the light because his policies were great, and I came to believe that he was a very good man fighting for our country. And, of course, I've become one of his strongest advocates, if not his strongest advocate, in the United States Senate, because I think his policies are good for the people of Ohio. So people can change their mind. In fact, they should change their mind when the facts on the ground change. Here's what's different now compared to, you know, 12 or 15 years ago. We have another 20 million illegal aliens in this country. We have a Democratic Party that has shown that it is committed to opening the southern border. You mentioned that he made these comments apparently during Barack Obama's presidency. This is a real statistic, Bob. When Barack Obama was president, we paroled 5,000 illegal aliens a year. That was Barack Obama, last Democratic president. Joe Biden is paroling close to 1 million illegal aliens per year. So the facts on the ground have changed. We cannot grant mass amnesty. And right now, Bernie is the only person with the courage to say, we've got to deport a lot of these criminal migrants who have come into the country.
He made that very clear on the podium in Dayton. I know that before President Trump spoke, and that is certainly something we're going to be talking about with Bernie in a few minutes. Well, about 20 minutes anyway. But since you brought up President Trump and your flip on him, and I'm so glad to hear you bring this up, this is extraordinary. We know that he is under false attacks all of the time, but what happened on Saturday in Dayton and what they have done now in creating what's being known as the bloodbath hoax is next level stuff. This is Morning Joe about 4 hours ago this morning, and I want to get your reaction to this, Senator Vance.
He was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath.
That's Morning Joe Scarborough this morning trying to say that Donald Trump was calling for retributive violence if he isn't reelected president. How do you respond to that?
Well, I was sitting right there, Bob, and of course I'm a great fan of the president. The president has done a very, very good job, and he's endorsed Bernie Moreno, by the way. It's important that people know that, because Bernie is the conservative fighter that we need. Look, about these comments, he was talking about what's going to happen to the American auto industry and the American economy if we continue to let these Chinese EVs come into our country. By the way, if we continue to subsidize these Chinese EVs, which is what Biden's doing, Donald Trump is 100% correct about this. And I have to say, Bob, I actually, when you play that Joe Scarborough comment, what I hear and what I think most Americans hear, even if they're on the fence about Donald Trump, is hysterical whining in the face of very real American problems. And if Trump is talking about real problems, and he is, and Bernie Moreno is talking about how to solve the country's problems, and these people are crying like children every time that Donald Trump opens his mouth, I just don't think it has the same impact that it did 10, 15 years ago. It's one of the things, frankly, Bob, that Trump has done is that he's changed people's willingness to accept this absolute garbage from the media. I don't think anybody cares what Joe Scarborough says. And, yeah, it's dishonest. Yeah, it's propaganda. But fortunately, I think most Americans see through that propaganda. We need to fix the country's problem. And Donald Trump is proposing that we do exactly that.
Yeah, well, you've probably heard the montage that has been put together of left-wing pundits and commentators and candidates talking about bloodbaths in so many different areas over the years. It's a common political term. It doesn't mean bloodshed. It means literally an economic or a political bloodbath. But they don't care about that consistency. They have an agenda here, which is driven by desperation. I think what you're describing, you know, the hysterical whining, is desperation. They are believing of the polls now. They're starting to realize that Joe Biden is going down in flames. It is not getting better as time goes by. In fact, there were reports that President Biden is very angry and frustrated behind the scenes with his reelection numbers. He can't believe that he's losing in all of the battleground states and overall to President Trump. Their desperation is setting in, and that creates desperate acts.
No, that's exactly right, Bob. And if you look up the dictionary definition of bloodbath, it's either the second or third definition in the dictionary is something like an economic calamity. It's become such a part of American political conversation. You're exactly right. The left does it. The right does it. Everybody knows what Donald Trump was talking about. And the fact that they're turning to these hysterics is because they're desperate. I mean, I think, look, you know, you pay attention to politics. I've run, you know, my own campaign. You know, when you're a year out, a year and a half out, 2 years out, you can convince yourself that the polls aren't real. When you're getting to the point where Biden gives the State of the Union address, which normally provides a pretty big political bounce, and he's not seeing any bounce, and he's still behind Donald Trump, these guys are starting to get desperate. And I got to say, this really worries me, Bob. This is why we need not just to elect Donald Trump. We need to elect people who are going to defend him and going to fight for the agenda for the people of Ohio. You cannot send weak-willed Republicans in there with Trump and expect us to get a great policy victory for the people of Ohio. Donald Trump in there. You also need to send Bernie Marino, who's going to fight for the people who represent him and not bend the knee to the hysterics that we've seen in the last couple of days.
We're talking with Senator J.D. Vance this morning, one day out from the all important Republican primaries tomorrow, well, all of the Ohio primaries. But speaking of desperation and the Democrats, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think that's what led Chuck Schumer, who does not give one rip about Palestinian civilians and does not give one rip about Israeli citizens either. He is calling for Benjamin Netanyahu to be bounced from leadership in Israel, all because President Netanyahu does not support a ceasefire. He's not going to stop until the Israeli people are safe from Hamas. And that is hurting Joe Biden, who has been unable to convince him to do so. So since Biden can't convince him to do so, thus placating Muslim and Arab American voters who are voting non-committed in various primaries in Joe Biden's case, the only answer is for Chuck Schumer to say to a functioning democracy like Israel, let's scrap your democracy, get rid of Netanyahu.
Well, that's exactly right. The politics of this are very clear. The Democrats have cultivated a base that is rabidly anti-Semitic, and now they're being forced to deal with that reality, and they're trying to sort of weasel their way out. And when you do that, you lead to what happened with Chuck Schumer. We have to remember, Bob, you know I'm a skeptic of us being the policemen of the world, mm-hmm. and you hear a lot of criticism from the media about Donald Trump violating the norms of American democracy. There is no bigger violation of norms than the Senate leader calling for a foreign country to change their political leader. I'm trying to think of any time that has ever happened. That is just not permissible. Let other countries run their elections as they want to. If America has a core national interest, we deal with whatever leader that they elect. Or if it's a dictator, we deal with that leader. We don't meddle in other countries' politics. Certainly not an important American ally. And when we do, by the way, because we do violate that norm, Bob, it's always a huge and terrible mistake that we live to regret. So let's not do it here.
To that point about being world police and vis-a-vis Ukraine, you just introduced a bill on Friday. Tell us about the Enhanced End-Use Monitoring Accountability Act, Senator.
Yeah, well, the GAO, the General Bob, some really troubling evidence that weaponry that we had sent to Ukraine had actually fallen into the wrong hands. This, of course, is something the Biden administration has sworn up and down in both classified and public settings. This never happens. They assure us this never happens. We now have evidence that it does. So we're just trying to get some bolstered security and accountability on the stuff that we're sending. what I worry about, Bob, is that we send some critical weapons component over to Ukraine. It falls into the hands of some American enemy, and then they're able to reverse engineer our own technology and use it against us. That's why we have to be skeptical of sending unlimited resources to this country. And while we're on this topic, I know you're going to get sick of me talking about this, Bob, but who's the one person in this Senate race who has shown some courage on this Ukraine?
Well, you're right.
Saying, let's focus on America's problems and not send all these resources to Ukraine. It's a great, great argument for Bernie's candidacy.
Well, Governor DeWine, Senator Vance, admitted in an interview the reason he has endorsed Matt Dolin is because Matt Dolin is more likely to be willing to vote in the Senate for another package of aid or multiple packages of aid to Ukraine. So, I mean, you're right. There is a distinct difference, at least between those two candidates. Not exactly sure where Frank LaRoe stands, but Bernie Moreno has said no more. Matt Dolin has said keep pumping that money into Ukraine.
Yeah, what a scandal that is. I mean, I want a senator who represents the people of Ohio, not a senator who represents the people of Ukraine. That's Bernie Moreno in this race, very clearly, and every signal and every sign points to it.
Yeah, completely agree. Well, Senator Vance, I know you've got a lot of things to get to today. You're going to wrap the day in Parma, and I know there's going to be a lot of people there to see you and to see Bernie Moreno. I appreciate you carving out the time. Such an extraordinarily important race tomorrow to make sure that we have the right person facing Sherrod Brown, the people of Ohio, the Republic. You know what? Last question. It's not just that's what I worry about. That it's not. I was about to say the Republicans of Ohio are going to decide who faces Sherrod Brown. Are you worried about the crossover vote?
You know, I worry about it a little bit, but Ohio is such a big state, Bob. It's really hard for Democrats to cross over in big enough numbers. It's easier in a place like New Hampshire. I think Bernie's going to get across the finish line, but we need to make sure the conservative America First Republicans show up in big numbers to vote for Bernie Moreno.
There you go. Senator J.D. Vance, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate that and your efforts.
Okay. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. God bless. That's J.D. Vance joining us. It's 10:24. He's working hard. You just heard him. He's going to be in what, Lima, I think he said, Toledo, and then I thought there was one more before he gets to Parma for a 6 p.m. rally tonight in support of Bernie Moreno. Bernie Moreno, by the way, is fighting a lot of fights right now in this Senate race. First, he's got to contend with Matt Dolin. He's got to contend with Frank LaRose, and he also has to contend with the Associated Press, which is and we talked about this on Friday. But the Associated Press is in some serious, serious trouble for its report on Friday morning. They dropped this bombshell on Thursday night, late Thursday night, so that people would wake up to it Friday morning, which, of course, was the eve of President Trump coming to Ohio for Bernie Moreno on Saturday. They dropped this bombshell allegation that Bernie Moreno had created some sort of an account on an adult friend finder app and that he was looking for years and years and years ago, by the way, looking for companionship while traveling. The inference being that it was a, you know, some sort of a scandalous type of account. And the Associated Press revealed during that initial story that they had geolocation data that traced the creation of that account back to Bernie Moreno and his computer, and that they had proof that he was involved. Of course, the way the AP and most of the mainstream press acts, they don't bother getting to the truth in the original story. They will drop the inference or the allegation. And then later, even if they knew ahead of time that they did not have that evidence, they'll issue the retraction. But less than 10% of the people who see an original scandalous story ever see the retraction or the correction. But that's what they've done now. The AP has admitted that their claim of having geolocation data that implicated Bernie Moreno is untrue. And Bernie Moreno's legal team has shown that an intern admitting that the posting was a prank was already out there. The AP knew and reported on the admission from the intern, but still ran the story and their claim of geolocational data support. The story is now flipped on its head. The AP has acknowledged, after pressure from Breitbart News, and I shared you some of the Breitbart information on Friday on this very show, the director of communications for the AP admitted This is their quote-unquote retraction or correction, that they did not have geolocation data, that which was referenced in the two prior stories. They didn't have it at all. The geolocational data was merely noting that it was basically coming from the same zip code. Critics objected to that use of the term, suggesting the AP had data showing an account created with a specific IP address that can be tied to a specific location. Otherwise, with the reported admission of the intern, there was little to support the bombshell article published just before the election. It's just so much deception. And I know a lot of Bernie Moreno supporters are livid, not just with the AP for running that, but with whichever campaign that is opposing Bernie Moreno in this primary leaked it or pitched it or threw it to the Associated Press. And I will tell you, I don't know if that's true, but I do know that if either the LaRose or the Dolan campaigns did throw that story to the AP in an attempt to try to take down the guy who had been the front runner for the last month and a half, that is inexcusable.
On your first fill-up, that's promo code GIFT.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
You know one of the reasons why we call this program Always Right Radio? And I say this a lot. I tell people this. My wife says, why do you call it Always Right? You're not always right. And I say, you know what? That's true, but I'm always right. And so you take that how you want. And when I call it Always Right Radio, it's important to know the difference between that and always wrong media.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
That's why I call what we do Always Right Radio, because it is to establish the clear and contrasting differences between this and Always Wrong Media. That's MSNBC. That was Morning Joe. And that's just one small taste of the left-wing media that is advancing the bloodbath hoax into overdrive. And all of that, of course, started on Saturday in Dayton when President Trump came to Ohio to rally for Bernie Moreno and spoke to an adoring crowd about how extraordinarily important it is that he become reelected simply for the economic benefit and not having the entire automotive industry, including all of the automotive jobs and all of the consumers that are going to be so negatively impacted by Chinese vehicles being assembled in Mexico and shipped up to the United States. EVs that are replacing the internal combustion engines that we all would rather drive, but of course are being phased out by the Biden war on fossil fuels. President Trump said it will be a bloodbath if he isn't reelected and they are allowed to do those policies free of the tariffs that Trump would impose. It is simply disgusting, reprehensible, and is unforgivable. But that's what the media does. So joining us now to talk a little bit more about what the media does, he is facing it himself, is one of the candidates for for senator in this Republican primary, Matt Dolan, Frank LaRose, and Bernie Moreno in a very, very tight race for pretty much the last 6 months. But Bernie Moreno has that Trump endorsement, had that Trump rally in Dayton, and he joins us now on AM 1420 The Answer. Bernie, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Bobby. You know, it's amazing. Obviously, I was there. The rally was President Trump came to make it clear that he wants me in the Senate to help him support his agenda. And he, by the way, you know what other bloodbaths we've had? The steel industry. My father-in-law, born in Hobart, Indiana, worked for U.S. Steel, worked there his whole life, and now U.S. Steel is on the verge of being gone. So, yes, the steel industry in America has experienced a bloodbath. It's almost completely gone. You look at the auto industry, which I'm obviously where I came from. He's 100% right. If we allow BYD, which is the name of the Chinese company, to build these massive factories in Mexico, ship us cheap Chinese cars, force the domestic producers to try to compete with them, there will be a bloodbath in the auto industry. They'll be gone. And the implications
for Ohio and Michigan are dire.
Well, let's go back to what you said at the very beginning there, Mr. Marino. You just said there was a bloodbath in the steel industry. Are you calling for bloodshed? Are you calling for retributive violence in the United States because of what happened here? Because that's what bloodbath means, we're told.
Well, you know what this is going to show you is what they're basically testing out their playbook for the next 7.5 months.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to take everything out of context and do everything in their power. Because here's what they do. They put a lie out there. And then they all magnify and repeat that same line so loudly, so clearly. It's just like they did in January 6th. Insurrection. I don't think there's any American that liked what happened on January 6th. But it wasn't the downfall of the United States government. The government was not about to collapse. I was born in Colombia, South America. I've seen what insurrections look like. A presidential candidate shot in cold blood on the street. A Supreme Court taken over and all the justices murdered. That's an insurrection. January 6th was a riot that got out of control. And at the end of the day, Bob, we have to call the media out because they are such incredibly corrupt liars that it is going to be the end of our country if we allow the media to continue to be able to spread that kind of Democrat lunatic propaganda.
Well, I concur with that. We're talking with Bernie Moreno, Senate candidate. Obviously, tomorrow is D-Day, if you will, as we try to find the right person to take on Sherrod Brown. Bernie Moreno has the Trump endorsement, as evidenced by that rally and his support on Saturday. He's got J.D. Vance's endorsement. He's got Jim Jordan's endorsement outside of the state of Ohio. He's got Governor Kristi Noem's endorsement and Senator Ted Cruz's endorsement. That's kind of a who's who of the conservative champions in this country. Bernie, do you think that is going to resonate with people when they head to the polls tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. But don't forget Rand Paul and Charlie Kirk as well, Donald Trump Jr. The reality is look at who my opponent has for endorsing. Mike DeWine, Rob Portman, and the editorial board of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I should tell you everything you know about the difference between me and my opponent. This is a guy who wants to give amnesty to illegals. I want to deport them. We will deport them, by the way. When President Trump's reelected, you put me in the Senate, we will deport any human being that's in this country illegally. We're going to end the conflict in Ukraine. We're not going to continue to fund a bloody stalemate that's going to cost this country hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. We're going to shrink the size of the federal government. We're going to get rid of the Department of Education. We're going to take a hard look at ATF. We're going to massively reform our three-letter agencies. We're going to put trade deals in place and make certain that our industries here are never gutted like what we've seen happen over the last 30 or 40 years. But the swamp establishment is strong. This is what we're fighting against.
No question about it. So speaking of the media and swampiness, I'm going to ask you, Bernie, about the AP bombshell from Friday morning that everybody woke up to and the allegations that you are facing. And I don't know who's behind this. I don't know who gave this information to the AP, but the AP ran with it in what would appear to be an extraordinarily irresponsible fashion. This allegation that you had posted something on an adult friend finder website years and years ago, and that they had geolocation data to buttress their allegation that you did indeed or were indeed responsible for this. And, of course, after the main story gets around the entire country, if not around the globe, in 24 hours, later they say, okay, we didn't have the geolocation data. So now the whole thing is essentially called into question. I want to ask you directly. I know a lot of people have spoken about this on your behalf, but I want to ask you directly to respond to this allegation and where you think it came from, Bernie.
Oh, it's not a mystery where it came from. It came from Frank LaRose and Matt Dolan. They have been pushing this story for the last 6 weeks. Honestly, these are two people that I knew for years. Frank LaRose and Matt Dolan are not strangers to me. I've known them for a long period of time. I thought they were good, honest men. The fact that they would spread that lie is disgusting. To me, it's disqualifying. They should never hold public trust ever again. They have to live with themselves and know that they participated in that. They were so desperate for political power that they were willing to prostitute their values. That's exactly what's wrong with D.C. This is why I love J.D. Vance, is because he's a good man. He's somebody who is exactly who he says he is.
Senator, permit me to follow up on that just very briefly, because I have been trying to figure out if this wasn't done by the Brown campaign to discredit you, it was done by one of your opponents. You just said both of your opponents. Are you suggesting that they coordinated their campaigns coordinated. The two men themselves said, let's come up with something to take down Bernie, the Trump-endorsed candidate, because that caught me by surprise. I thought maybe one of the campaigns did this, but you're saying they worked together on this?
This lie started, like I said, weeks ago. The Rose people were pushing it for a long time. Then the Dolan people started pushing it. So both of them. What's even more disgusting and despicable is that even after it was unequivocally proven false, unequivocal, wasn't even a doubt. It wasn't take my word for it. Unequivocally proven false. Both of them continued to spread this thing over the weekend. Dolan created a commercial. His family, shame on them. Shame on their family. For doing that. These were, you know, supposedly good Catholic people that produce a commercial like that, knowing it's false. Shame on them.
Well, I will say that I'm a little bit embarrassed by even focusing on this, because it does indeed do the job that they want, which is to take the focus off of the issues and take the focus off of your endorsements and the momentum, I think, that your campaign probably has. But it does need to be asked. If it was brought up in advance the way that it was, I think you deserve a chance to respond to it rather than just through, media reports saying the Marino campaign says. I just wanted to ask you directly, and I do apologize for having to do so, but I think people do need to hear it from you directly, so I appreciate that. They also need to hear from you about some of the issues. You mentioned about deporting. You mentioned about securing the border and how it is literally the number one issue in this country today, and I agree with that, and I think most Americans agree with that. I asked Senator Vance before you came on about one of the other attack ads that you have faced. Your opponents say that you supported amnesty during the Obama years and that you actually called for a pathway to citizenship. That's what the ads say. Now, I read something different in some of the quotes that you made, but again, I want to give you a chance to respond to that personally.
Yeah, as you know, that actually was an article completely taken out of context. It was about the DACA kids, these kids that came here young. And I thought maybe at the time, hey, do we provide a pathway to residency, never citizenship? That was decades, over almost a decade ago. What we've seen in the last 3 years is an invasion of this country. We cannot continue to allow people to come here illegally and be rewarded. So let me just be clear. Every human being who's in this country illegally will be deported. Tom Homan, who will run the largest deportation task force in modern American history, endorsed me this morning. He met all three of us. He knows I'm the one that's going to be absolutely the hardest and strongest on this issue, because we can't even have a conversation about legal immigration until we solve this problem of illegal immigration. And this is a national security imperative. As you know, Bob, we have over 10 million people in this country that are here illegally, and a sizable number of those people are here to do us harm. We must immediately begin deportation action, and we will come January 2025.
We are talking with Senate candidate Bernie Moreno now on the eve of the primary vote tomorrow. Hopefully you got your votes in early so that you are not congested tomorrow and something gets in your way or some sort of a glitch at your precinct causes problems. I voted early for that reason, so hopefully people are allowing for that and getting themselves some time tomorrow. Bernie, We've spoken at length about some of the other issues, but I just want to talk about what it's going to take to beat Sherrod Brown. Aside from the issues, let's just presume for the sake of our conversation that you're the right person because of your stance on the issues, and that's why you have that massive superstar list of conservative endorsements. But some are saying he can't win. In fact, $2.5 million. From a Chuck Schumer associated PAC, just started pouring that money into ads in support of you because they want you to be the winner of this primary because they believe you are the most vulnerable to Sherrod Brown. That's the way the story has read over the last 4 days. How do you respond to that, Bernie?
That's nonsense. What they're doing is they're framing me already for the general election because they know I'm the candidate that they're going to be up against. They know my other opponents aren't going to win. So, Bob, we don't be a guy like Sherrod Brown by putting up Sherrod Brown light. That's a mistake Republicans make over and over again. The conservative movement only works when you actually put in conservatives. When you put in somebody who's an 80% version of Sherrod Brown, what have we really gained? Do you think that Matt Dolan's going to vote to get rid of the Department of Education? Never. Do you think he's going to vote to actually deport every illegal? Absolutely not. Do you think he's going to vote to actually have trade deals with tariffs that are actually going to take away the ability for China to rob our auto industry out of this country? Absolutely not. He won't vote for unleashing American energy, coal mines, natural gas, oil, nuclear. He just won't do it. These are on the big issues that matter. He will be the absolute person that will vote with the Democrats. We've seen it over and over and over again. I'll give you just the easiest example. Mm-hmm. Right now in the United States government, we cannot pass a bill that says that when you do a census, you only count American citizens. Think about how I'm saying that. Now, it's not because Democrats voted that way. It's because Republicans voted with Democrats that way. That's what's got to change, Bob. If we're not, if we're actually going to save this country and put it back on the right trajectory, we need Republicans that act like Republicans in the United States Senate, not like basically Democrats interact.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, and because I concur, we do need that, and there are far too many roundups, starting with leadership. Mitch McConnell, of course, has announced that he's going to step down after November, but he's going to stay on until that point. He is, in my estimation, he is the ultimate rhino, and I believe that people like Mitch McConnell are endorsing people like, well, your opponents in this primary. How would you work with those rhinos in leadership if you get there? And again, I know Mitch would be stepping down. I don't know who would be rising up to leadership position, but how would you work with those rhinos, and how would you convince them to come around to your more conservative point of view?
Well, if you look at my two opponents in the Republican primary over the last few months, they're speaking much more conservative than they were 6 months ago. So I take credit for that. And I think one of the things that we have to do is speak clearly with common sense around what conservative principles mean. And in terms of leadership, we're going to put in place a Senate majority leader. We will have the majority. We're going to win this thing. President Trump is going to have allies to get his agenda through. And what we're going to do is make certain that we have a leader that understands two things: distributed power, that's not a dictator, and secondly, that understands that the agenda that all of us run on is the agenda we're going to put in place. Otherwise, Bob, we will lose the 2026 midterms, as we should. Because if we don't show this country that we can actually take office and govern as conservatives and get the things that I just outlined done, what's the point in voting for a Republican if they're just going to be Democrat-like?
Bernie, I caught you on Trey Gowdy last night, and he asked you a question I want to follow up on here. And he said essentially that I had a brain cramp here, and about why Sherrod Brown. I'm sorry. He asked you about why the state of Ohio, which has become very, very red. We used to be a purple. Used to be a blue state. Then became a purple state. Now we're a very, very comfortably red state, except for Sherrod. He continues to survive, even as Republicans win statewide race after statewide race and Senate race after Senate race, except for his seat. This is his fourth term he's running for here. And I think Trey asked you how it is that he manages to navigate this this red state and still keep his seat there. What is the answer to that question, Bernie?
Well, he's got the entirety of the mainstream Ohio media that covers for him. He comes to Ohio and pretends to be a nice guy, talking about baseball and football, and then yucks it up with them. And then he goes to Washington, D.C., and he stabs every conservative in the back. So he's somebody who's one way in D.C. He's basically Joe Biden with Elizabeth Warren's point of view, and then comes to Ohio is different. So we're going to point that out. We're going to be a well-resourced campaign. That hasn't happened since Josh Mandel ran in 2012. Josh almost beat Sherrod Brown in 2012, but he had Sherrod had the tailwinds of Obama versus Mitt Romney. In 2024, he's going to have the headwinds of Donald Trump. He will not be able to overcome President Trump's margin. I am extraordinarily confident we're going to retire Sherrod Brown. I wouldn't put my life through a blender like this, Bob, if I didn't think we were going to be victorious. We will. I just need every conservative listening to this broadcast right now to go out and make certain you vote tomorrow 10 times. Vote yourself and then bring 9 people and make sure that they vote also. We have to drive a dagger through the heart of what's left of the swamp rhinos in the state.
Well, that is exactly what it's all about. By the way, the other way you can vote 10 times is to pull a Democrat ballot. That's pretty much unlimited when you do that. I kid. Bernie, I want to say thank you for the time, and I want to give you one last closing statement to the voters before they go to the polls tomorrow morning. And I know you have more statements to be made today and tonight in Parma. You'll be there with Senator J.D. Vance. I might even be able to stop by so that I could say hello to a bunch of great conservative patriots who are going to be there. But give the last pitch here, Bernie. Separate yourself once again from Matt Dolan. Separate yourself from Frank LaRose, and tell us why and how you'll beat Sherrod Brown.
Matt Dolan's a continuation of everything that's wrong from the Republican Party. People that betray us when they go into office. This guy's the most liberal senator in Columbus. He would be the most liberal senator in D.C. I will be an America First conservative. I will always remember who I work for, which is you, the people of Ohio. I will always put America first. I'm going to fight like heck to make sure that we get the America First agenda through the United States Senate. We're going to beat Sherrod Brown because it's long overdue for the guy to be gone. He's wrong for Ohio. His policies are wrong for the working class. We're going to rebuild this working class, middle class in America, and we're going to make certain that the next 250 years in this country, Bob, are better than the previous ones. Election matters. Please go vote tomorrow.
Bernie Moreno, Senate candidate running to bring America first to that United States Senate seat currently held by Sherrod Brown. Bernie, I thank you so much for your time. I wish you the very best of luck tomorrow.
Bob, thank you for always being right.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. There you go. All right, that's Bernie Moreno. I want to point something out here before we go to our top of the hour break. I invited Bernie and Frank LaRose and Matt Dolan to appear on my program one last time together in a three-way forum. I even announced that we were going to hold it. And the reason why is because they all agreed to it. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the phone with Matt Dolan. He agreed to it. I spoke on the, not on the phone, no, I actually in person at an event where I saw Frank LaRose and also via text message, and he agreed to it. Yes, the three of them would appear in our studio in Independence, and we'll have a full-on forum where we will discuss all of their differences and maybe their commonalities when it comes to conservative issues and beating Sherrod Brown. Bernie was the only one to hold true to that promise. He kept asking me, when are we doing it? When are we doing it? When are we doing it? And I said, I don't know, because LaRose and Dolan have cooled to the idea. They kept steering me to the ORP, saying the ORP has to okay such a thing. Well, I contacted the ORP, and the only thing the ORP had agreed to was a series of three debates that they sponsored and that were they controlled, and those were conducted. Once those three debates were over, anything else the candidates want to do, they can do. They can agree to an interview with anybody they wish. The ORP had nothing to do with this. But Secretary LaRose and Senator Dolan, who promised me personally that they would do this, used the ORP to run interference because they did not want to come and have one more face-to-face with one another, with me moderating the event. So I said, well, they were invited. They chose not to accept. After the fact, Bernie did accept, so Bernie got another shot at it today. And it was solo. It was 20 minutes of his own conversation since the others chose not to be a part of it. I want that to be known for the purposes of fairness and just to let everybody know that, one of the three candidates was willing to go to the, to answer the questions, the hard questions. The other two decided they would skip it. So that's where we are. Make your mind up from that if you wish. Take a time out now, top of the hour. We're going to get into a very, very hotly contested and maybe even dirty.
Imagine if they go to Washington.
Buckeye Leadership Fund, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. BuckeyesLead.org.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools, and our honored dead who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Hour number three is underway now at 9 minutes past 11 o'clock. Good Monday morning to you. Thanks for being here. It's the 18th morning of the third month of the year of our Lord 2024. Tomorrow is decision day. What kind of a state do you want to live in? What kind of a country do you want to live in? It's the primary season, and tomorrow we can decide what we want our Ohio General Assembly to look like. Do we want it to look like the supermajority of conservative Republicans that we voted for? Or do we want it to look like the simple majority of rhinos who partner with Democrats that it has become? Tomorrow we can decide whether or not we want to have a majority in the United States Senate by electing a true America First conservative Senate nominee to take down Sherrod Brown in November, or if we want to have business as usual. And tomorrow we also have some other important decisions to make as it pertains to judicial races. We don't often talk about judicial races on this program simply because they aren't as sexy and they aren't as, there's not as much information known about the judicial candidates. But there's one that we're going to focus on this morning that really, apparently, to me anyway, kind of underscores the old adage that politics is the second oldest profession and just as dirty as the first. If you know that that turn of phrase, the oldest profession is pretty disgusting. The second oldest is politics, and it is maybe even more disgusting. There is a race for the 11th District Court of Appeals, Ashtabula County, for judge. The candidates there are Colleen O'Toole, who is a disgraced county prosecutor and a former judge. And she is running for this particular seat against Scott Lynch. Scott Lynch is on the ballot as well. This would be his first time as a judge, as an appeals court judge, I should say. And this race has gotten ugly. And I will say, from all of the research I've been able to do, the ugliness is only on one side of the race. And that side is the side that is essentially creating fake mailers and fake electoral slates, evidently or purportedly put forth by the Ashtabula County Republican Party. They have done this. This person has done this in an attempt to fool the voters into taking them for fools any way that they would take these this fake slate into the polling booth tomorrow, the voting booth tomorrow, and to cast votes accordingly. And so I thought it might be important to get the truth out there. So I want to welcome Scott Lynch, candidate for 11th District Court of Appeals on in Ashtabula County here on AM 1420, The Answer, to tell us the truth this morning. Scott Lynch, good to have you. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm trying to make some sense out of everything that is done here, has been done here in this case. Before we talk about the fake slate card by Colleen O'Toole, or at least that is alleged to have been put forth by Colleen O'Toole or her supporters, tell anybody who doesn't know anything about you, who can vote in the 11th District here, about yourself and about why you want to be the appellate court's judge.
Thanks, Bob. Well, I'm running for this race because I'm the real constitutional conservative in this race. I believe in liberty. I believe in the Constitution. I have three young children. The way this country has changed over the last few years, you never would have thought that judge races were contentious and important as they are right now in the state of our country to protect our liberty. But you better believe these judge races are important. So I'm doing this for my family. And the future of our country.
Yeah, you're spot on. Like I said, I'm partially to blame because I'm a part of the media, the opinion media, being a talk show host, but still, and we don't pay enough attention to the judicial races. And you're exactly right. With so many of the things that we are seeing decided in courts of law now, particularly as it pertains to some other election questions, look at what Donald Trump is going through right now with all of the lawfare. We need to make sure that the right types of judges are in on our benches locally as well as nationally, so federally. So, Scott, let's talk about your campaign and let's talk about Colleen O'Toole. I am reading multiple reports about a slate card. One that was put out by an organization called Ohio Republican PAC. I don't know that this organization actually exists, but from what I've read, it's something that somebody created in order to try to fool the voters. Can you shine any light on this?
Sure, I'd be happy to. From what I'm understanding, we're watching this closely too. Republican Ohio PAC sent out a slate card for this race. And this is an extremely important race because we actually cover all 5 counties of Northeast Ohio. This is larger than a congressional district. It is, if you are listening in Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, Trumbull, or Portage County, you can cast a vote for Scott Lynch tomorrow against what is going on. And the origin of all this is in Ashtabula County. So
right.
Ashtabula County Republican Party, where my opponent is currently a county prosecutor, made an endorsement in this race. But more happened, if I can give you this background leading up to it.
Please.
Two other important things happened in Ashtabula County. With my opponent in her tenure as prosecutor last year, 3 FOPs publicly and unanimously gave her a vote of no confidence because they're saying she is making the county less safe with the way she's a prosecutor. It is unprecedented for a fraternal order of police to come out against their own prosecutor, let alone to do so on a unanimous basis. Related to that, the Republican Party for Ashtabula unanimously asked her to step down, not only as a prosecutor, they asked her to resign as a Republican because of what they allege is her woke way of operating the prosecutor's office.
Can you give me any specifics on examples of that? I mean, I know what woke prosecutors look like. We see them all around the country, but I am not terribly familiar with her work as a prosecutor. Can you give me an idea why the FOPs made that no confidence?
I would direct a lot of your listeners directly to the Ashtabula County Republican Party website. They thoroughly, the resolution that they passed asking her to step down, I know they thoroughly detailed. But it's generally an approach of soft on crime and not protecting family.
Yeah, that's a pretty astounding thing. And we do see that all over the place. And it's troublesome enough when we see a prosecutor that is not interested in protecting the citizens and protecting, you know, potential victims and holding criminals accountable. It's another thing to see them want to rise from their position as prosecutor to judge, where they would obviously have an even greater impact on crime or lack of prosecution of crime.
Well, and Bob, and that's why this race is so important, because you're right. It begs the question, why not run for re-election as prosecutor? This is a re-election year as prosecutor, and she chose to run for the Court of Appeals instead. This is a 5-county race. And unfortunately, as you said in the open, people don't always pay as much attention to judicial races. Mm-hmm. So there may have been a calculation rather than just running in an Ashtabula County where this history is widespread and well-known, running in a 5-county race that this might not be as well-known to the average voter.
So Scott Lynch is our guest. Scott Lynch is a candidate for 11th District Court of Appeals, running against Colleen O'Toole, the Ashtabula County prosecutor. According to the webpage for the Ashtabula County Republican Party, the allegation here is that Colleen O'Toole's boyfriend, a Democrat and a retired lobbyist, that's the person who created this fake PAC and also created this slate card. And the allegation here is that the card was actually a photocopy of the actual Ashtabula County Republican slate card, but they went ahead and changed some of the names and even some of the pictures, including the endorsement for Scott Lynch for the 11th District Court of Appeals. They substituted Colleen O'Toole's name in for that, and there are a couple of others as well. Do you know, Scott Lynch, if this is confirmed 100% to be committed by or carried out by Colleen O'Toole's boyfriend and supporter?
Well, the information that I am looking at is that Republican Ohio PAC is registered to an address of a home that is owned by Colleen O'Toole, and it was, from what I understand, registered to her boyfriend, who rents at that house and is a registered Democrat.
That's a very, so very interesting.
Republican Ohio PAC is registered to a home that is owned by Colleen O'Toole.
Yeah, this information and this evidence, I would like people to go to the webpage and see for themselves before they go and cast their vote. If they really want to make sure that what we're saying is accurate, it's at acrpnews.com. ACRP, that's Ashtabula County Republican Party. acrpnews.com. You will see what I'm talking about right here. And there is a picture of the real slate card that has been put out by the Ashtabula County Republican Party. And it does include, as I noted, the names of Sandra O'Brien, for example, and Scott Lynch. Obviously, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie Moreno are at the top of that. But you look at it, it's a very lengthy slate card. And then right next to it is a picture of a fake slate card put forth by this Republican Ohio PAC. Ostensibly, Scott, it would seem to be to fool people into thinking that this is the actual county party's slate card, right?
Well, the image of the slate card I'm looking at, sent out by this Republican Ohio PAC, the very top line says endorsed Republicans.
Endorsed Republicans. So, but it doesn't say endorsed by whom. But again, they kind of leave people to infer there, right? And on that slate card, you see Colleen O'Toole. Well, who would she be endorsed by, having been given a vote of no confidence by all of these FOP organizations, being requested by the Republican Party to step down as prosecutor? One would think that if she's getting endorsed here, you know, those same individuals who are endorsing her wouldn't have asked her to leave. So there's going to have to be some question as to how this quote unquote slate card was created.
And Bob, it may sound too obvious to say, but I believe good judges should have good judgment, and I don't think that this reflects well on my opponent.
Do you think that the we're talking to Scott Lynch again? I want you to know his name. He is running for District 11 Appeals Court to be a judge on that court against Colleen O'Toole. Would the same conservative organization like the Ashtabula County Republican Party that endorsed you and endorsed President Trump and so forth, would they be in the habit of endorsing any members of the Blue 22, the phony Republicans who decided to side with the Democrats when it came to the Ohio State House leadership last year?
You know, Bob, I do, as a judge, I do need to be careful to show independence and integrity of the judiciary, but as a factual matter, I do understand that Sandra O'Brien's opponent could be characterized as a member of that Blue 22.
Okay, and fair enough. And you're right. Be as impartial and objective as you have to be. I am not bound by any such thing. But what I see is the name of Mike Loychik, who is a member of the Blue 22 running for state senate, and that yes, Sandra O'Brien is as well. And Sandra O'Brien is endorsed by the Ashtabula County Republican Party on their slate card, and that Loychik's name appears on the fake slate card, the one put together by something called Republican Ohio PAC. So I just want people to know here, we're not just talking about an organization that is, you know, lying about this judicial race between Colleen O'Toole and Scott Lynch and substituting her name for his among the endorsed candidates, but they're doing it for others as well. People of like minds, I would guess, including Mike Loychik, who is not the endorsed candidate of the Ashtabula County Republican Party. So what we're talking about here is the dirtiest type of politics, the dirtiest types of corruption as far as I'm concerned, and we'd normally see this on the Democrat side. But it's happening on the Republican side, apparently, to try to keep good, honest Republicans like Scott Lynch out of office or off of the bench in this particular case, people like Sandra O'Brien as well. So, Scott, I'll give you one more opportunity here to tell everybody in that five-county area represented by the 11th District. I know I'm focusing everything on Ashtabula County because of the slate card issue and the Ashtabula County Republican Party. But give everybody in that five-county area again why they need to vote tomorrow for Scott Lynch for judge.
Thanks so much, Bob. I have heard from law enforcement across my district they want to see Scott Lynch as the next Court of Appeals judge. I'm the only real constitutional conservative in this race. I am pro-life. I am pro-2A. I am the person that will be able to carry on the tradition of constitutional conservatism for the 11th district. Bob, there's one story I want to share for you while we're on our way out.
Please.
There was a very short time ago when a judge by the name of Matt Lynch was the only conservative Republican on this 5-judge court. When I am elected, when I'm nominated on Tuesday, and when I'm elected in November, I will be the 5th out of all 5 Republican judges on this court. The court is not to be partisan, but being Republican means that you have certain values like constitutional conservatism, and having 5 out of 5 judges with those values is going to be a very, very good thing for the protection of liberty in Northeast Ohio.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I could not have said that any better, because that's the key when it comes to judicial races, constitutional conservatism, not ideological. Although they are driven by values that you just pointed out that I think the Republican Party takes great pride in, but it's all about serving the Constitution when you're talking about a position on the bench and something as important as this, and that's exactly what we should be looking for. Personally, I don't see those values represented in a candidate that would have her boyfriend create a slate card, a fake slate card, to pretend that she and some others like her are the actual endorsed candidates. I don't find those values to be Republican values. I don't find them to be conservative values. And if she'd be willing to do that in an election, Lord only knows what she would be willing to do from the bench when it comes to upholding the Constitution. So I just want to underscore what you just said. And Scott Lynch, I thank you so much for coming on. And I do wish you the very best. And I hope everybody in those 5 counties understands the importance of this vote tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Bob.
You bet. Scott Lynch is endorsed by multiple chiefs of police and of organizations, FOP organizations, 3 different police FOPs, as well as the Republican Party of Ashtabula County and beyond, who have said he is the person. Colleen O'Toole has created some Democrat-like moves here, or carried out some Democrat-like moves here, I think, in trying to fool the conservative voters in those counties. So please be alert and understand what you're doing there when you have to decide on Scott Lynch for judge as opposed to Colleen O'Toole for judge. If you want to get more information on that race, as I just said, go to acrpnews.com, acrpnews.com. It stands for Ashtabula County Republican Party News, and you will be able to see that breaking story about that race between Scott Lynch and Colleen O'Toole. We'll take our last time out here, bottom of the hour break, and that gives us another segment to go. This is your last chance before you go to the polls tomorrow.
20. The answer. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
Okay, it is 11:33, final segment of the morning. The next time we talk, voting will already be underway. Tomorrow morning, 7:30, polls will open, and we'll take the airwaves at 9 o'clock to bring you the latest and hopefully most accurate information. That's what we strive to do. We had great conversations already this morning about this primary fight tomorrow. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. You want to tell me who you're voting for tomorrow in the Senate race? Do you want to tell me you're voting for in important congressional races? You want to tell me if you're going to do your part to bounce the 17 members of the Blue 22 who are running against primary challengers to keep their seats. If you are voting to bounce their A's out of Columbus, tell me that too. So I welcome your thoughts. 216-901-0945. We talked with J.D. Vance earlier about some important issues involving the Senate, but we also talked about the Senate race. He is a strong supporter of Bernie Moreno, as are so many other prominent Ohio conservatives. You can take that for what it's worth. If you're a Dolan supporter, you disagree, that's fine. If you're a LaRose supporter, you disagree, that's fine too. But J.D. Vance came in strong for Bernie Moreno, and he'll be in Parma tonight for a rally, a get-out-the-vote rally with Bernie Moreno. We spoke with Bernie himself in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. We had invited Frank LaRose and Matt Dolan all last week to come on with us as well and have a 3-way conversation. The two of them essentially changed their minds and declined, so I kept the appointment with Bernie Moreno, and we did it in a one-on-one fashion. So that's a choice that they made. But if you want to hear those conversations, they're online at they will be online at whkradio.com on the podcast page. And then, of course, we just heard a very important conversation, I think, in a judicial race with Scott Lynch running against a Republican in name only who is willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get promoted from Ashtabula County prosecutor to that that district court bench. Okay, Doris Peters is running for Ohio State Central Committee. Doris, good morning. Good to have you. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I wanted to inform the voters that in the past I've represented District 23, which was Parma, Cleveland, Lakewood, and Brentonall. But now redistricting has put Parma, where I live, in District 24. So I'm running for re-election to the State Central Committee. Mm-hmm. Parma, Strongsville, North Royalton, Broadview Heights, Berea, Brooklyn, Brook Park, Middleburg Heights, and all of the Olmsteads. So I wanted to let those voters know to pick me. I'm the proven conservative in the race. My opponents being financed by people in Columbus. I'm being financed by the grassroots people here in Parma and the neighboring communities. I'm in favor of lower taxes, our Second Amendment rights, and I'm pro-life. I'm president of the Parma Republicans, and I'm also president of Suburban Right to Life. And we're involved in the local fairs and parades, especially the Cuyahoga County Fair. So I've met a lot of people through that. I just wanted to remind people to vote for me, the proven conservative, tomorrow.
Well, Doris, I'll tell you what, I do see your list of endorsements with Ohio Value Voters, Cuyahoga County Valley Republicans, Strongsville Republicans, Right to Life Action Coalition, and the Cuyahoga County Republican Party. So you certainly have a lot of support for the work that you've done already working on the State Central Committee. So I'm so glad you called to get that message out there, and I wish you the very best tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. God bless. That's Doris Peters running for State Central Committee. And again, as you just heard, her district has changed somewhat in terms of the reach. So make sure you know who you're voting for, know who the endorsed candidates in these very important races are. These endorsements carry a lot of weight for a reason, particularly the ones, like I said, I mean, you talk about the Republican clubs, you know, Strongsville or Cuyahoga County, whatever the case might be. Cuyahoga Valley was on there as well. But the organizations that are not necessarily tied directly to Republicans but are conservative-driven, meaning things like Ohio Value Voters. They decide not on party. They decide based on Republican values, conservative values, rather, and just so happens that most Republicans share those. But those endorsements carry a lot of weight, and I hope people pay attention to those when they go to vote tomorrow. Let's go to Scott calling from Lake County, according to my screen. Scott, welcome to Always Right Radio. What's on your mind this morning?
Talk with you again, Bob. Full-on Bernie Marino supporter. I'm part of the Lake County support team, fundraising team for Bernie Marino for Senate. It's obvious with all the games that are going on that everyone knows he is the man. Bernie Marino will support us in the best way possible. So anyway, Scott Lynch also, right? There's dirty games going on there, but Scott's the top guy there. Also in Lake County, commissioner's race, where another false slate card was sent out by Morris Beveridge III, which endorsed he's not. He is not endorsed by the Lake County Republican Party. He actually supported a Satan worshiper in the Mentor School Board race, and he is also supporting DEI with a major organization in Ohio. And this guy is running on the Republican ticket.
And who's the person you support on that ticket?
Anyone else, there are two other names in there. John Hammercheck is the incumbent, and Dennis Keeney is a third guy who has never really been in the game before. So those two have entered the race. I'm just saying that the dirty politics is playing, and really you have Democrats running as Republicans because they cannot win as Democrats.
Yeah, that's pretty important. I'm astounded to hear that. I shouldn't be, I suppose, because this is what politics has devolved into. But so you're saying that there's another fake slate card. This was created by one of the candidates for Lake County Commissioner in an attempt to fool the voters there, and he's actually a left-wing Democrat.
I mean, he's been a registered Republican for a number of years now, but his wife just switched 2 years ago when he tried for commissioner so she could vote for him, and he failed. But his whole family, his parents, all of that, they've been long-time, lifetime Democrats. I mean, supporting DEI openly, okay, raising money for DEI, supporting us. supporting a Satan worshiper for a school board race, really? I mean, it's unconscionable, and so they put out a fake slate card looking like he's endorsed by the party.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that I hadn't heard about that part, about the endorsing a Satan worshiper. If you would mind going on hold here when we're done with our call so you can get my email address, I'd love for you to send us some of the information on that. But the person you're talking about is Morris Beveridge III, for Lake County Commissioner, putting out fake slate cards, supporting DEI and more. Not a real Republican is the message you're sending, right?
It's a short and sweet message. We could talk about it for another 10 minutes to develop the whole story, but yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Hold the line if you would, okay? Scott, I appreciate your call, but I'd like to learn more about that part about where he supported a Satan worshiper for school board. I did not hear that story, but I would love to learn more. AC is in Cleveland. Hi, AC. Go right ahead.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, AC.
In the segment between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, you talked about Mike Pence.
Yes.
Okay. And you said that he seemed to go to bat for Trump concerning this issue of the bloodbath story.
Yes.
Okay. But Mike Pence is not a supporter of Donald Trump. He will not endorse him as president.
Correct.
And there's something wrong with that picture.
Well, I don't think so, and here's why. I mean, I know they have their differences. President Trump has trashed Pence ever since they left office and everything that happened on January 6th, and Pence has shoved back. But that's kind of my point. Even a guy who is not endorsing Donald Trump, like Mike Pence, willing to tell the truth about the garbage of this bloodbath hoax that the left is pushing here, it further supports President Trump. It further supports his message and the fact that the left will do anything they can to stop him. Even somebody who is not a supporter of his now, like Mike Pence, willing to publicly say that's garbage what they're doing to him, I think that carries a lot of weight. It's one thing for Trump supporters to say, hey, that's not fair, they're lying about him, there's no context. It's another thing when a Trump opponent or a guy who's no longer aligned with him is willing to tell the truth on his behalf as well. I think it underscores it more.
Well, I don't trust Mike Pence. So.
Well, but you can't dispute what he said, right? I mean, he's defending Trump's words here. He knows that he didn't threaten a bloodbath, you know? I mean, he's trying to tell everybody this is garbage what they're saying about him here. So, you know, it's one thing to not trust him. I get that. But it's another thing to say, well, when he's supporting President Trump, you don't trust that. No, that's something I can trust even more when somebody who is not a supporter of President Trump's is willing to go to bat for him.
Yeah, well, that was wrong what they said about, you know, how they misinterpreted that statement.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the worst part about it, my friend, and AC, thanks for the call. They didn't misinterpret it. They know that you're lying about it. Misinterpretation can be excused. So if you misunderstand something, and I've done that, I've had people on the radio say things to me, and I'll repeat it back to them what I thought they were saying. No, I misinterpreted their comments completely, and that's a mistake. And then I got some clarification. That's different than literal intentional lying. What the left is doing here about what Donald Trump said about a bloodbath economically, trying to say he means that, you know, it's a threat to, you know, have riots, bloody riots all over the country if he isn't reelected, that's not a misinterpretation. That's an intentional lie, and that's what they're advancing. That's why we're calling it the bloodbath hoax. Phil, University Heights. Hi, Phil, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Mike, good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
For Bob, I'm sorry.
That's all right, I got you.
I'm a little...
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.